It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time to sparkle.
Welcome, citizens of Sparkle Town. This is your deputy mayor speaking. Sparkle Town is a municipality that intersects and overlaps with the city of Berlin. It is ruled by the Contessa, and its citizens are anyone who is listening to this and is friendly, happy, tolerant.
And fabulous.
Yes, and fabulous. You heard the Contessa. And in today's episode, we have one of the classic queens of, well, classic, I wouldn't say classic, been around for a couple of years anyway. It's our good and lovely friend, Giza Polk.
She calls him over, leans into his ear, whispers softly, Giza Polk.
Yeah, introducing herself there.
Power top butch lesbian drag queen.
That's who Giza Polk is, indeed.
Unfortunately, I also spoke over her when she was giving the full title of her book, and that had to be cut away.
Right.
Therefore, I'm going to give the full title now.
Give the full title. Go ahead.
Apocalypse Now, Memoirs of a Giza.
I'm still here.
And you talking over me right now is why you cut it out when I talked over Giza.
Everybody's supposed to join in and I'm still here. If you've ever seen the show live where Giza reads from her memoirs, then you know that the entire audience will shout back, I'm still here. So that's why I did that. And your next chance to catch Giza that we know of is this Tuesday.
Halloween night, Monster Bronson's, the House of Presents drag show.
Right.
Dress up, folks. This one's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. And we were at a dress up show last night. Today is Saturday as we are recording this.
And we are so far behind. We have been to too many shows in the last few days and I'm exhausted and we're about to walk out of the house again for a show tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too. I feel hungover. I only drank soda last night, but I honestly feel hungover. I don't know what's wrong with me. But that's what happens when you try to cover the drag scene of Berlin. What else is going on this week?
No, we'll talk about that after we listen to Giza.
All right, if you want. Okay, here's the Contessa in conversation with Giza Polk.
And today, with me, do I have the man behind or do I have the queen herself? Who is here today?
You're with Colin Comfort today.
Ooh.
AKA Giza Polk.
Ah, that's where I want to squeal. Thank you so much for coming today. I really appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You know I adore Giza. Absolutely adore Giza, and I would do almost anything for either of you.
Okay, good to know.
Separately and together.
Got some shelves need to put up.
Oh, we'll talk. Talk to me a little bit about your path to drag in Berlin.
I can pretty much blame it all on Pansy, to be honest. Actually, my path to the stage overall began with a party called Cherokee.
Oh, yes.
Have you been to Cherokee?
I've not been. I have heard about it.
You
I have not
come
been.
To the next one. In October.
Put it on the calendar, please.
I do it with my friend Samson.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to this party. I met him through the gay rugby team. He invited us all over. I turned up, and after two times, he said, well, you're basically on the stage all the time anyway. How about I just pay you? Ooh, this is interesting. Getting paid to be on stage, to show off in front of a crowd of people. What could be better?
Ooh.
And then fast forward a few years later, Pansy, I was at one of Pansy's parties. She saw me lip syncing. I think it was Destiny's Child or something. And she said, oh, okay. I think you'd be a fierce queen. I'm going to put you in drag. Okay. Let's give it a go. So she did. She put my makeup on. I thought, okay, this looks nice. She took me shopping. She spent 250 euros of my money. And I'm Scottish, so I figured, well, I'm invested, so I might as well keep doing it now. So I ended up in drag.
How'd you get Giza Polk?
Giza the name.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what it means, Debbie?
I don't.
No?
I do not.
Can I explain it for you?
Oh,
it's
a
particularly Glaswegian thing.
Okay.
Imagine, set the scene. It's a cold November night. It's dark. You're on Socky Hall Street. Girls are walking down the streets, kebab in hand, just got up from pissing in the doorway of Marks and Spencer's. She sees a guy she likes. She calls him over, leans into his ear, whispers softly, "He's a poke." She's looking for a finger.
Oh my goodness.
It's Scottish for please finger me.
Oh.
Basically.
I'm going to have to stop saying that in public, aren't I? Nah.
It's all right. Just be careful when you're in Glasgow who you say it to. But otherwise, you should be fine.
I think Giza just showed up.
She just popped in for a second, but I had run the door. We had other names in the beginning. Uh-huh. The first time I performed on my own for Pansy, she was insisting on calling me Dobby the House Elf. Which we thought was a cute name.
It is cute.
I told her in no uncertain terms never to call me that. And of course, as soon as I was about to come on stage, she calls, "Here's Dobby the House Elf." But it didn't stick, thank God.
Oh, but Giza did.
Giza did. We were shooting like a video, Meet the Queens video, and I still didn't know what my name was. But we just tried with like four different names. We tried with Dobby, and then she was asking me questions, and I was answering that like this. I tried to figure out what the voice was. I couldn't really get it. But then she called me Giza, and like immediately I knew the history. I knew everything about her just came out, and I could tell her about the last 20 years.
Oh, that name chose you then.
It did.
Oh, fantastic.
It was out there waiting to be discovered.
How long did it take you to decide to do Giza's memoirs?
Oh, that's a good question. It was a flash of inspiration.
I love it. I live for memoirs of a Giza.
Thank you.
I do. That story is so much fun. It was so important to me that when I was going to be gone for 2 weeks to see my mother, I called the deputy mayor and I said, "You need to go to the show because you need to tape that for me." And when I came home, I was squealing in front of that computer listening to the show. I love Giza so much.
Thank you. Well, I'm still working on it.
I love it. I can't wait for the next episode.
What do we have? So far, we have 7 chapters and a postcard.
Yes.
Which is more like an outtake. Who knows? I don't know if the postcard will be canon or not yet. We're still figuring it out. We're storyboarding at the moment.
Uh-huh.
The final chapter has basically been written. It's going to be from beyond the grave, basically, of course.
Well, we've got years for that, right?
Well, we've got years for that. And okay. Also, it's volume one. I mean, we're going to many memoirs.
Oh, yay.
Many memoirs.
What makes you decide that Giza needs a different voice? There are a lot of queens that have this, they use the same voice on stage, off stage, yeah. In and out of makeup, when they're on, when they're not on.
Yeah.
What made you choose this voice for Giza and the accent for Giza as well? Because she's a little bit harsher than your regular talking to me normally, or
she's a wee bit deeper.
She is.
She's got a stronger accent. She really gets down there in the gutturals.
She does.
It just makes it a lot of fun to say words. You don't even have to make jokes anymore. It's the best. You just look somebody dead in the eye and you say a word like purple, butter, florid petals. The joke's already made for you, dear.
Is all of that part of what happened when you the name Giza stuck with you?
Yeah, completely.
It just all came out with it.
Also, the accent was never like a conscious decision. It just naturally came out.
Part of
inspired
Giza.
Inspired by the woman that worked in like the bacon roll shops in Glasgow, where I used to live. And just these fantastic creatures who I was terrified of. Who can be so, like, caustic and harsh and scary, but so much love at the same time. And it's just, I don't know, I'm really inspired by these women.
What's your favorite piece of costume? The most fabulous thing you own?
Giza doesn't really have fabulous things. She's not like other drag queens. She doesn't really do pretty. My favorite costume. Actually, I do have one really nice thing. I can't wear it anymore because the zipper broke.
Oh, no. I have a sewing machine. Maybe we can fix it.
Actually, that would be amazing. But stop the interview. I'll go get it. And carry on. The thread and bobbin. The thread and bobbin. I have this... Where did I get it from? So you've heard of Patricia Fields in New York?
Mm-hmm.
I was shopping in there. And I was already... I'd spent all my money for the trip already. But we were having so much fun in there. She comes out with this, like, leotard with a hood.
Ooh.
And it's all over. It's like this beautiful red tartan. And it's like cut high on the legs. It makes my bulge look really good. And it has a, like this really big, thick zipper running right up the front, which you can pull down. And then just like your belly and the hair comes out. And you pull the hood over your head and you look like Grace Jones.
That sounds amazing.
Might be my favorite thing. I never wear it though, because actually it's like, it looks too good for Giza. Why Berlin? Why did I move here?
How did you get to Berlin from Glasgow?
There were a lot of reasons. I moved here 7 years ago, but I had already made the decision, yeah, basically 7 years before that, on my first visit to Berlin when I was 18.
Uh-huh.
I just fell in love with the city, like so many people do.
I can relate to that. We fell in love with Berlin.
Yeah, right? You just do, don't you?
Yes.
So then I had a couple of attempts when I was about 20 or 21. I studied architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of the studying, you have to spend a year working in practice. So I tried to do that in Berlin. I literally like just walked around with a little portfolio in my hand, rang like buzzers on the bottom of stairwells wherever I saw the word architect. I didn't speak any German. Basically, all I could say was, "Hallo, ich möchte Praktikum machen." And I got a lot of confused responses, but also, like, I got some interviews out of it, but they all told me, yeah, no, we're not going to pay you. Obviously not. Whereas in the UK, this type of thing is paid.
Okay.
So I never ended up coming then. But the summer before I moved here, I arranged for myself to have 2 months of freedom in Europe to explore my burgeoning sexuality.
Ooh.
I had just had my first gay experience, and I came over to Berlin because I'd heard that there might be some homosexuals here.
I think there's a few.
Yeah, just a couple. And within like 2 days, I met my first ever boyfriend that was single, and he lived in Berlin, and I ended up basically living with him all summer.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed together. We did a long distance for the next 9 months, me in Glasgow finishing up my course, him in Berlin. Then as soon as my course was finished, I was on the plane, packed up my stuff, and shot over to Berlin.
Okay, so now you've been in Berlin now for 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
How's your German?
It's all right.
What's your favorite German expression?
What's my favorite German expression? Steck's rein? I don't know.
What does it mean?
Stick it in.
Oh.
Do you know, it's weird. My German used to be really pretty good. But in the last 2 years, I've basically only interacted with English-speaking people. So it's got a lot worse again. It's weird. I had a nice, like, it's like a bell curve. In the middle, it was really good. I mean, I'm fine. I do all my, like, I think you should speak German. It just makes it a lot easier when you go into the amts and stuff. And you have to do all that official stuff. I've been told before in some of the offices, they're literally like not allowed to speak English in case they translate something wrong.
There is that. No, that's very good policy to have, particularly in the government offices. Here's one for you.
Mm-hmm. Ask away.
You are able to be booked for drag shows and other things.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we talk to? Do you have a manager? Do you do it yourself?
I don't have a manager.
So how does one contact you to book Miss Giza?
That's good. People should book me. I don't know. Send me an email. ColinComfort@gmail.com. Bam.
We can
find me on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Giza Polk. That's G-I-E-Z-A Polk. P-O-K-E. Same on Instagram. You could also find Colin Comfort. He's more popular than Giza Polk on Instagram anyway. Giza's not so good at the socials. She's actually not very good at any advertising or like marketing or... I probably spelled my name wrong as well.
No, but she can stand on that stage and strut her stuff.
That's it. People need to
and
know.
And she's good at that.
Once they see her, sometimes they want to see her again.
Indeed. Is there anything that you particularly like being booked for or avoid?
No, I like to have my own stage. I like to have a microphone. I like to have the opportunity to sing and to read my book. I mean, I would love to organize my very own one-woman show, like an hour-long show, which would be sort of a concert or a gig with Giza.
Uh-huh.
Probably a mix of reading extracts from the book and songs. I have a couple of backing dancers, so we get some real choreography going. They would also maybe do a couple of numbers, like themselves, just, you know, to give the kids a chance. So Mama can go to have a breather in the back, probably slip into that tartan leotard that I've got lurking somewhere.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
That's something I'd like to do.
A future for Giza.
A future for Giza, I mean.
90-minute, let's sell out a house somewhere.
It'd be a start, you know. We'll go from there, maybe Sydney Opera House.
I'm in. If not Berlin, mm-hmm. Where would you be?
It's a really hard question. I can't... At the moment, I can't see myself living anywhere else. But, I mean, New York would be amazing.
Uh-huh.
I was there. I've been a few times. I have some really good friends there. Good contacts. There's also a great scene happening over there. The problem is you've got to hustle in New York. Yeah. Just to stay afloat. That's what drew me to Berlin. Was like this idea, like, you don't have to know exactly what you want to do. There's like a little bit of breathing room to try some things out. And if you're not earning that much money, you're going to be all right. Whereas if you're somewhere like New York or London, you've just got to work. And then try and find the time for like your passion in between.
I've seen weeks when you've been at it nearly every day.
Oh, I work fucking hard. Like, I don't stop working most of the time. But it's all, like, passionate work. I have, like, a business coach. And I was, like, telling her, I was like, oh, no, this one's a passion project. I'm like, oh, no, I only make, like, 50 euros for this. But it's okay because I really support it. And she's like, she turns to me, looks at me dead in the eye. She's like, everything you do is a passion project. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Colin, what are you passionate about?
people. Happiness. No, I am genuinely really passionate about people being happy. I think I kind of, like, discovered my purpose a couple of years ago, and it's basically just, like, to make people's lives a bit better. That's it. It doesn't have to be anything more than that. It's just, like, to improve people's lives, make people happier to be on the earth. Because I'm here. I'm passionate about that.
I love that. I do.
It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that, right?
Nail polish. We had this talk earlier. You tend not to paint your nails.
I never paint my nails.
Does Giza not like nail polish?
Giza never has time for nail polish. Giza, you might have noticed today when I turned up 2 hours after I said I would arrive, Giza tends to run on the late side. So if Giza manages to get on stage with her face painted... In time, she's already ahead. She's winning.
Oh, it's a good day.
It's a good day. I cannot, for the life of me, imagine a time when I'm ready and I have an extra half an hour to go, oh, you know what? I'll just paint my nails and look extra pretty. Like, it's never going to happen.
Okay, here's an offer then. I'll come over half an hour before you wake up.
Okay, yeah. If you could paint them while I'm unconscious, that would be great. I would love it. My nails are also, like, disgusting little stumps.
Anything to promote?
And to promote, well, I have this one-woman show. yeah, the book is developing. I want to, like, there's going to be an album attached, mm-hmm. of course, with all the songs.
And the lyrics, and the lyrics, and the lyrics.
And the lyrics. Oh, finally, yay. You'll get, like, a lyric booklet. I want to release it as an audiobook. because I just think that'd be fucking hilarious.
It would be.
It has to be an actual book that people can buy. But then if it's going to be a book, I need to, like, extend it. All the chapters need to be longer because I'm a very slow reader because I just enjoy chewing on those words in my mouth, you know? That'll come up in the future, so keep your eyes open. Let's see. Tuesday nights, Monster Ronsons. I have a regular show every week. It's called Giza's Poke House, where we bring the youngest, freshest meats in the drag and drag-adjacent world in Berlin, and we put them on stage for your enjoyment. It's basically an open stage that people can try things out. They've always enjoyed watching and thought, maybe I could do this as well. Giza's there to slap you on the arse and say, come on, get on stage. Let's see what you're made of. It's every Tuesday, Master Ronson.
Ew, I'm not so sure about that backwards chime.
I like the backwards chime because, like, it chimes in and then it pulls back out, mm-hmm. back to us.
Just like most of the queens, when they sit down with me, I am talking to the man behind the queen herself.
Right.
But Giza sure stuck her head into that interview more than once.
Yes.
I adore her.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So for anybody who was listening and I sounded like a teenager giggling over a rock star, well, excuse me. We all know he has a drag crush. So do I. Mine's Giza. Get over it.
The he in that sentence being me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was very easy to think that you were talking about Colin otherwise, which you were not.
No, I don't know if Colin has a drag crush. I'll have to ask him on Tuesday.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
You wanted to know what was coming up this week.
Right. It's Tuesday, we said.
Today's Saturday. We are going to put this up on iTunes. Well, okay. We're going to put it up and send it to iTunes. I'm not sure when they're going to release it. And then we're getting ready to go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show at the Babylon Theater with Shadowcast. It's my first time.
Yes, she's a virgin. And several of our friends are going to be in the Shadowcast.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And so the Contessa is losing her virginity today in the Rocky Horror Picture Show sense. And I, in fact, lost my actual virginity right after having seen Rocky Horror Picture Show in the theater for the first time back in 1980.
I think like that may be too much information for a few people.
Oh, whatever.
All right. I have no idea what's going on Sunday, except I'm going to see if I can possibly go grocery shopping because I forgot to go this week.
Monday is Schwitz's 40th birthday party, evidently.
That's a big deal, folks.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of people there.
Not necessarily a drag deal per se, but
there will be some drag there.
Of course, and there will be certainly.
And there's also going to be the, oh, I've forgotten the name of them now. It's a Mediterranean group that's dancing. The show is at 2 in the morning. Damn.
Well, you see, that's why we should look these things up before we start recording.
I have everything written down except who they are.
Oh, no, damn. Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well.
If I get something out before that, I will make sure we mention that.
Yeah, well, yeah, check
the
it out.
The 31st Halloween party at Monster Ronson's with the House of Presents. Slightly higher ticket price to get in because they are going to turn the smoking room into a dark room.
That's
They're
not the reason.
They're going to be bobbing for, well, okay. Pansy said it was bobbing for dildos. I don't know. I'm waiting to see.
And this is why we need to mark this as NFSW on iTunes.
It is marked that way.
That's what I'm saying. This is a... Oh, you know what? You know what? Okay, and let's do Thursday. What's happening Thursday?
Thursday is Cafe Futuro, the lab of performance experimentation hosted by Pharaoh Fawcett.
Right, and it will be kind of a recap of the last 2 weeks where we have been both times, and it's been experimental but good and fun. Experimental doesn't necessarily mean boring and bad or anything even like that. It's just a... It's non-traditional, but there's been some really interesting and fun stuff.
There really has. One of the things that Pharaoh said was this is a place to come and try something and maybe fail.
Yeah, exactly.
In a friendly place.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you're going to dare to experiment, you need to feel free to fail without making that be the end of your life or end of your day or end of your career or whatever. You've got to be able to try stuff. And it's very open to that. So check that out, Cafe Futuro on Humnestrasse
Panierstrasse.
Panierstrasse, right, yes. Number 13, maybe?
I don't remember the number. 31? Sorry.
Just keep walking until you find a place called Cafe Futuro. Yeah, we're very well prepared for this. Speaking of well prepared, I was going to do, this thing that I was going to do, that I want to do with the legendary queens of Sparkle Town, queens that don't actually exist. And I mentioned last week I was going to do Slutty McSlutface this time.
No.
But I still think, and write a backstory. It's like Slutty McSlutface was named in an online poll and is famous for always being seen with her dog, Puppy McPupface, or something like that. You know, but I haven't gotten around to it.
Mm-hmm. And on Friday.
Yes. yeah. So.
Yeah, the week ahead here. We're still on the week ahead.
I'm still hungover.
Slutty McFace. Oh, my gosh. Friday, Dragon Drinks with Judy LaDivina
at
Axel Hotel.
Yes, always.
Now, these are the only things that I have marked down on my calendar. And we'll see what else happens.
Oh, just real quick. I met two very nice Scottish gentlemen at Friday's yesterday, because not only did we go to the Halloween party last night with the Real Housewives of Neukölln, who were being the fake housewives of Neukölln and playing each other, but that's another story.
That was at Monster Mash for Fumpf.
Not Monster Mash. It was called Das Monster.
Das Monster something.
Yeah.
We're so
professional. I love it. But before that, we did go to see Judy LaDivina at the Axel Hotel. I met two lovely Scottish gentlemen, and I got one of the guys' phone numbers, and not to pick him up, but to take them along to Monster Ronson's on Tuesday. And I think I may have lost the number, but they said they were going to listen to this. So maybe if they hear this, contact me at john@thelandrome.com, thelandrome.com, that being our site. It's on the little thingy. Please send me an email so I can get you along to Monster Ronson's on Tuesday. And if you are not one of these two Scottish gentlemen, then please come to Monster Ronson's on Tuesday. Anyway, I'll be the guy with the absurd sideburns. Sparkle.